Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Since 1991, Ferguson Audio and Video has proudly served Greenwood with the best in home theaters, car stereo, home technology, and security systems. To our loyal customers, thank you for 35 amazing years. Ferguson Audio and Video, 35 years strong in Greenwood.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night. This is the podcast. The Memphis wrapped up an abysmal loss to Memphis on the midweek. 6-2, the final four hits for Ole Miss in this game. One of them probably shouldn't have been one of odd review there, but doesn't matter. The first bad loss of the season for Ole Miss entering a series against Mississippi State, where the Bulldogs are just humming right now. They run-ruled Southern Miss tonight, so Not the best feeling to play the way that they did tonight, entering a really significant series this weekend with Mississippi State. But I want to talk about spring football. It is getting started this week. Thursday's show is going to be a preview of the series. I haven't asked him yet, but I'm going to make Hey Dad do some preview with me. And so we'll do that on Thursday. So tonight I'm talking about spring practice. If a handful of storylines that I'm paying attention to, things that I think that we can actually learn during spring practice. So that's what we're going to be talking about initially anyway on this edition of the show. And then we'll get to your comments. And I assume you guys want to talk about baseball as well. So we'll do that abbreviated version because we are starting at 9:30 since the game just ended. But I'm glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe right here on YouTube. Like, leave a comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. Hit the notification bell. Tell your friends. Also, wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. I would also very much appreciate that. And this edition is brought to you by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. If you haven't called them already, what are you waiting for? Home, auto, life, or business insurance anywhere in Mississippi. That's the person you go to. His name's Logan Smith. He's with Shelter. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. Give him and his team there a call. Even if you have an insurance plan, it is worth the phone call. You're going to like what you hear when you give Logan Smith a call at Shelter Insurance. So, spring practice getting started, if I read the release correctly, on Friday. I believe it said the 27th, and carry the two. The 27th is on Friday. So here's a handful of things that I'm watching for this spring, things that maybe hopefully we can learn about this Ole Miss team entering the 2026 season. It's a lot that we can't find out, but there are some things that I think that we can learn. So here are a few of those right now. Number one, of course, the biggest storyline. I don't know how much during the spring we can actually learn from this prospect, from this storyline, I should say. But it is Pete Golding's program now. What's different now than the way things were done under Lane Kiffin? Length of practice, the way they practice, things like music at practice. What is different now about this program than it was under Lane Kiffin? And I know that you have a sample size of him being a head coach during the playoff run, but that was not as much making the program his as it was making sure that the players were locked in and stayed on message, and they really valued continuity, which is why they kept coaches that were actively trying to take their players to LSU on roster, because in Golding's mind, and look, it worked, the right call was to keep everything as normal as possible, even though it was clear that some of those guys were incapable of balancing the way that they needed to. But still, that was more about continuity. Now it's his program. Now this is his staff. He signed off on every single coach that is on that sideline now. He signs off on every way they practice, everything. So what is going to be different? Hopefully not much. And that's something that he himself has talked about. I know they'll have a media op coming up on Tuesday, by the way. So I think the first time we'll get to hear from him since the playoff ended will be on Tuesday, the 31st. But he said in the past, you know, don't deviate much from what's working. there are some things that I think that they can afford to do that won't sacrifice winning. And part of it is getting a little bit more serious in some spots. The basketball goal, like they took that away. That is not the difference between winning and losing. I think you're going to see a bit more of a serious operation than what you saw before. But in terms of process and system and stuff, what they were doing was working, which is why you hire John David Baker. And yeah, it is going to be different. Slightly more on that in a second, but you hired from that tree in Golding's own words because the offense works. So don't deviate from what works too much. Curious to see how much of that we actually get to see during spring, how different it is, what makes this program Pete Golding's as opposed to Lane Kiffin's. But again, you don't really have to change a whole lot. What you were doing was working. There still is room to grow, to go from good to great to elite as a program. I think they have gone from good to great. Now it's time to go from great to elite, become a championship contender. They're very close. What adjustments are made to become that? I don't know if spring's going to show us much of that, but that is the biggest storyline for this team is Pete Golding. It's his program now. What's that going to look like and what's that going to feel like? But by and large, I think you're going to get a pretty boring spring, and that's not the worst thing in the world. Here's what I mean by boring. There's no quarterback competition. You know what you have at quarterback. You know exactly who you have and what he's capable of. There's no drama there. You're going to want to see Trinidad at practice because you like watching Trinidad play football in an Ole Miss uniform, but that's kind of boring, right? You already know what he is, and that's a good thing. You're solid at quarterback. All good. Yeah, you'll get to see some Deuce Knight reps. That'll be interesting, I suppose. But quarterback is boring because you already know. Running back is boring because you already know. They brought in a couple of new guys, but that room is really solid, and you know that. Tight end room, solid. There's a new piece, a couple new pieces, but you kind of know what you have already. There's not much question mark there compared to wide receiver anyway. More on that in a second. But you already know quarterback. You already know running back. You already know the interior of your offensive line. You already know Cam Franklin and Will Eccles and Suntarian Perkins. And I think the secondary, you can be really confident and comfortable in. There's not much drama. There's not many questions there in the back end of your defense. So there's a lot of things. The defensive system, despite the coaching change, is the same, right? Because that hasn't changed at all. So there's not that much that is in question because of who's coming back and the work they've done in the portal and roster retention and those kind of things. Not very many questions that need to be answered during spring anyway. So I think you're going to get kind of a boring spring from an information perspective, but that doesn't mean that everything will be. Number one, the biggest one absent Pete is John David Baker's offense. How different is John David Baker's offense and how quickly are they able to learn this offense and how quickly does it become robotic? And again, I know there's going to be a lot of similarities because Baker's been at Ole Miss. There's a rapport with the coaching staff. The offense is quite similar. So I can't imagine it's not some dramatic shift going from the Kiffin offense to the triple option or whatever, or going to pro style. There's a lot of similarities. So I can't imagine the transition is rather significant, but that is something that, you know, they're going to have to quote unquote answer to this spring is how quickly is it coming on? What's Trinidad and John David Baker's relationship like? What's that communication like? How are they getting along? How do they feel with each other when it comes to play calling and tendencies and stuff like that? That is a fascinating storyline with this Ole Miss team. People like me keep saying that, oh, it's the same. It's the same offense. It's the same offense. Not entirely. And also, it is a new voice. And so how are they meshing? How is that coming together? How comfortable are they with each other? Clearly, the initial conversations in the initial approach, the initial sales pitch to the roster worked because, as you guys know, Kiwan Lacy was offered big money to go somewhere else. He chose to stay. Deuce Alexander, big money to go somewhere else, chose to stay. Luke Haz could have gone somewhere else, chose to stay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But how has that relationship blossomed? What is that going to be now? How comfortable are you together? That is something that I am very excited to hear from the people involved in this deal and from Pete Golding. What has that been like so far? Because there is so much talent on this offense, but if it doesn't mesh, if it's not comfortable, then that obviously lowers the ceiling of this team. But if it does hit, and if they are comfortable and there's a good relationship there and they believe in each other and they trust each other, the talent that has been assembled on this offense has a ceiling that is championship level high. So are they comfortable? Are they ready? How is that relationship going? It's another big picture thing. Three position groups I'm watching really closely. I won't spend much time on this one because we talk about it a lot already. And I don't know how much we'll be able to learn in spring practice anyway, but it's the offensive tackle position. I told you guys before, I had an interview with Cole Kublik on the radio show, and I mean, he seemed to not be concerned at all about replacing Pounds and Williams. He doesn't think that, considering the system and things like that, that you're going to see some massive, oh my God, Ole Miss is going from elite to terrible and the offense is going to fall apart type situation. It was very interesting to hear from the offensive line guy about that. But who's it going to be? Most people think Terese Davis is just kind of a lock in to one spot. Is it going to be Kern? Is it going to be Kinsler? You need two. You brought in three guys in the portal. You already had one there also in Davis that transferred before. What's that going to be like? Who is going to emerge at offensive tackle? Wide receivers is a position group that I think that we can actually learn about this spring practice. Again, there's so many things that I don't know if we can or cannot learn during spring. I think wide receiver is one of them, though. You know what Deuce Alexander is. You know what he's capable of. That's done. That's decided. You're solid there. But who else is going to be that guy? Is it Caleb Cunningham's turn? He's waited his turn. Is he finally going to live up to that great potential? Is Daryl Gill the guy that they think that they signed? Is Jontae Cook going to live up to his high school recruiting ranking at some point? Who is it going to be? They are going to use more receivers in this offense than they have under Lane Kiffin. So it's not just three that they need to get ready, but who is going to step up and emerge and show John David Baker and Trinidad Chambliss that they can be a reliable weapon come fall? Because there's a lot of options at receiver. One of them has proven it at Ole Miss. Who is going to step up and be the main rotation guys at receiver? I'm very curious to see who that is. Caleb Cunningham's been waiting his turn for a long time. And then finally, the position that I'm going to watch for closely this spring, for whatever, you know, we can actually see of spring, is the defensive end / edge outside linebacker position. So you know what you got in Cam Franklin and Suntarian Perkins, but you need more than two. And you did bring in guys via portal, three of them, with Purchase and Renaud from Alabama and Maldonado from Nevada. And, you know, you have to like on paper what they can present. But as you saw in the Miami game, the Ole Miss defensive line had really talented starters. They did not have enough playable depth. And so, especially at edge and defensive end, that is a bigger question than tackle. I really like their depth at tackle, or at least what it can be. At edge, there's a lot of question marks. And so who is going to step up and show that, hey, besides Cam Franklin, I can give you quality snaps. I can give you 20 snaps a game where he can get a rest and he can be sharp in the fourth quarter. Because again, as you saw, Ole Miss didn't have a lot of playable depth on the defensive line. Part of that was due to the fact that they didn't have the budget. There was an imbalanced budget building last year's roster. As I understand it, it's been corrected some. So they have on paper more depth, but is that on paper depth going to translate to in-game depth? Because that was the difference between winning and losing a championship last year. They had a dozen wide receivers, but they did not have enough on the defensive line, specifically in the front six, to be able to neutralize what Miami was able to present in the lines of scrimmage, and obviously what Indiana would have done as well. So wide receivers, offensive tackles, defensive end / edges are the three positions I'm watching the most. The continuity with John David Baker and Trinidad Chambliss, how comfortable are they together? How does that feel? And of course, what does practice look like? What does it feel like? It's Pete's program now. You don't have to change too much, but you do have to change something. You have to make it your program, but what you were doing by and large was working. Interesting, interesting stuff. So really glad that you guys are here. Don't forget the podcast is brought to you in part also by Priority One Bank to make you their priority every day. 16 locations across the state of Mississippi. So there's very likely to be one near you. Great online banking, local loan servicing and decision making. That's what they do at Priority One Bank. It's in the name. They make you their priority every single day. Also, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Don't forget to tell them that it was me that sent you there. What's up, Austin? Glad to see you. Man, what was that? Amazing how the hitting just disappears. It does. There's a remarkably inconsistent offensive team. They do not do enough. It's a broken record. We talk about it all the time. They flash it. They show it at times, but they do not do enough manufacturing offense. They far too often are just squandering opportunities. They're really bad with runners on base. They're really bad with runners in scoring position. That they're not able to move runners. They're not playing all the cliche stuff that you heard in Little League, station-to-station baseball, et cetera. They don't do any of that offensively, though. Four hits tonight, it's just bad. And one of them, I don't even know if it was a hit. He was ruled out, and I don't know how they overturned it. But, yeah, just a completely uncompetitive night for Ole Miss at the plate. And I'm telling you, Mississippi State's really good. And they've got to produce much better offensively if they're going to get that series this weekend. It's one midweek game. You don't want to freak out. Like, it's their first bad loss of the season. Everybody else in the SEC except for State really has one of those. But they disappear too much offensively. Hubert Davis got fired today. I saw that. One of the best jobs in the country is open. My bet right now would be Nate Oates, but maybe I'm crazy. This team's hitting philosophy is pure luck and Barry Bassetta bombs. No, Barry Bassetta Bonds. Sorry, that said bombs. I'm an idiot. Barry Bassetta Bonds. Yeah, no kidding. Hope the football team doesn't play like this baseball team. Ouch. Bet Trinidad could bat leadoff. Federico, a horrendously slow bat. Yeah, I figured you guys would not be happy about what happened. Never understood why people are upset the spring games are going away. They were boring before. The teams that still do spring games are now even more boring than they were back then. I like them. It's just an excuse to watch the team put the uniforms on in the stadium. I enjoyed spring games. I know they weren't the same as a regular game. You know, it wasn't a real game, but I liked going to them. It was just an excuse to go to the stadium and watch a scrimmage and talk about football. So heard you mention on Super Talk today that Lane's backed up on LSU expectations, but couldn't tune in long today. Curious what was said, if you care to share here. Oh, I mean, it wasn't much, honestly. I mean, it was a short quote about how, you know, he thinks they've got a good roster, but things don't happen overnight. It was 7-6 last season. Within that comes change. Within that comes a lot of work, but that's a long jump to go to the level that I came here to get at. Basically kind of telling people, I mean, it was a minute long quote of like, hey, you know, chill out. It's going to take a while. There's a lot of work to do. And I don't think that you can tell people to pay $40 to $50 million for your roster and do all of the just different stuff and just embarrass yourself on the way out the door to go take that job because it's just so much different and so much better, and then turn around and tell those people that you've spent the last few months telling them how awesome they are and how different they are and how much better the players that you can get are, and then turn around and take all that money from them to buy those players and then say, actually, it's going to take a while. Not in this era. It better not take a while, and those people will not accept it taking a while. They didn't pony up all that money for you to go 8-4 in year one. It's not acceptable considering what you've invested into that roster, what they've put into your roster. So you can't have both, man. Can you flip a roster or not? If you can, then these are your players now. There's no building year when you've got tens upon tens of millions of dollars invested into this roster, the greatest portal class ever assembled, et cetera, et cetera. Those two things are mutually exclusive. You can't have the best players in the best program and, you know, the greatest portal class of all time. And also, actually, you shouldn't have any expectations for year one. Those two things are mutually exclusive. Doesn't work like that. The SEC network is atrocious. They would rather air Kentucky, Missouri, Auburn spring games as opposed to airing a top 15 baseball matchup. The spring games are watched by more people than regular season baseball games. Greetings from LA. Good to see you. Good to see you. Really good to see you. You guys jinxed it today on Super Talk. Heard y'all mention that we had no bad losses yet this year. I told Hey Dad he was going to do it. I told him he would because Ole Miss, up until today, had no bad losses. And Hey Dad brought it up, and I was like, you know what you did, right? Ole Miss is going to lose now because you said that they don't have any bad losses. And sure enough, thought the best portal class ever assembled was Ole Miss Fall 24. Apparently, this one's better. That's what they keep telling everybody. That's what they keep saying, that this one is better. So if it is, then it better be better. It better be the best of all time. And the best of all time does not go 8-4 at a place like LSU. So, I mean, you know, I actually agree with a lot of what he said. I don't think that you can completely and totally flip an entire team and make them a national championship contender in the SEC in year one. But that's not what you told them. That's not what your actions say, and that's not what they're going to expect. They can say that right now. There's a lot of things that are easy to say in the offseason, like the Clemson thing. Like, oh, well, Dabo's taking a moral stance against the corruption of college football, and we're so proud of Dabo, and let him go 6-6 and tell me how proud of Dabo you are. It's easy to take stances this time of year. It's easy to take those stances now. It's easy to say that, oh, we're patient. We're going to be patient until you lose that fourth game. And you're not patient anymore. Yeah, so the previous place, the previous quarterback, and the previous running back. Yeah, the running back one is particularly hilarious. I mean, everybody was told privately and publicly that Kewon Lacy is guaranteed going to LSU. You had people that cover there. You had people that cover that program that would say Kewon is tied to Kevin Smith. He's loyal to Kevin Smith. I heard that one. He's loyal to Kevin Smith. He's loyal to Lane Kiffin. Whoops. But, oh, well. It'll be nice. September 20th will be nice. No, actually the 21st, because I'll have to do the radio show still. But getting to, you know, not have to talk to him near as much would be, or talk about him near as much would be great. Did see the Deuce apology today, by the way, if you guys didn't see it. Like I said before, I think that that was somebody that's a pretty normal person that was just posting something online, probably didn't think anything of it. You know, poor choice of words. I think the worst part is, though, is I'd be willing to bet he underestimated what happens when you feed a troll and what the troll's going to do for that, because Kiffin knows how Ole Miss people would react to what Deuce said. And he just kept twisting that knife and twisting that knife and twisting that knife. And you know who that hurts? That hurts Deuce when you do that. That hurts him, but Kiffin doesn't care if it hurts him. That to me is the worst part. Not even what Deuce said. It's just this guy knowing that he's going to keep egging it on and twisting that knife, and it's going to make it more and more difficult for him each time he does that. But that's who he is. It's what he does. Apparently, he's going to be on with Ben Garrett. Well, that'll be good.
No, it'll be fine. I mean, I think you guys will like what he has to say. Duke's a good dude. He used to come on the radio show, talk Saints with us once a week during football season. I'm willing to bet that he just, you know, was supporting his son, just having a little fun on Twitter, and completely underestimated, again, what happens when you feed a troll. Especially that one. So, anyway. It is late, guys. It's way too late. Can't believe we stayed up to watch that baseball game together. What a mistake that was. But I appreciate you guys. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll be back live on Thursday. I will have a preview for you on Thursday. It may not be live. We may record it ahead of time and just post it. It's probably what's going to happen, if I had to guess. So, yeah, we'll see you Thursday, one way or another. We will we'll see you Thursday. Y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.